Okie dokie. If I can have a volunteer, please, to hand out some pieces of paper. One piece of paper each and a pencil each. Reuben, would you be happy? In fact, thanks. One piece of paper each and a pencil each. When you get your piece of paper, we're going to do a little game where you've probably seen it before, you've probably played it before. We're going to write someone's name on the top, and then we're going to fold it down and pass it to the person to our right. Okay. It could be someone's name in this room. It could be Superman. It could be Mickey Mouse. It could be any name. Any name you fancy, just write it down and then fold it over and give it to the person on your right. But before you give it to the person on your right, I'd like you to put the word left, L-E-F-T. So if it was Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse left. Yeah. Write the word left, as in leaving, going out from somewhere, leaving, left, after the name. So write the name, and just to the right of it, write the word left, and then fold it over. So you can't see. No more pencils. Ah, man. Might have to share some pencils here, guys. There's a spare one there. It's Brenda's. How many are we short, Reuben? Oh, yeah. If you can see what you can do there, Emma. Thanks. If you do have a pen, if you can use a pen and just give the pencil to someone. Try not to stab anyone as you're doing it. Thanks, Ruben. Brilliant. Have you got a piece of paper yourself? So a name and then the word left. And pass it to your person on your right. Then, just to juggle things even more, if you have a Bible with you, if you can turn to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27. Genesis 11, 27. Do 11, 27. Genesis 11, 27. Oh yeah, well done, Emma. More pencils here if you need them. Downwards so you can't see it. Towards you. Fold it down towards you. And then. No. The next person is going to write something else on there. Okay. Maybe I should have done this after I read the Bible passage. This could be pandemonium. Genesis 11:27. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to read about the call of Abraham. I know that Phil Gibson the other week spoke about Abraham and Isaac, and when God said, offer your son Isaac to me, and he preached on that. And that sort of inspired me, really, to talk about the life of Abraham. So I'm going to start off this morning with the call of Abraham. Genesis 11:27, it says this. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai. So I call my wife sometimes, I call her Sarai, just to sort of, because her name is Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. And the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son, Abram, and his grandson, Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son Abram's wife. Abram is the same as Abraham, and Sarai is the same as Sarah, but the names were changed by God later on. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. Ur is modern-day Iraq. It's that area there. So they left that area and went down to the land of Canaan, which would become Israel. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Can we have an R, please? Yes. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people to whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Right, so what I'm going to preach on is the call of Abram, or Abraham, here. And again, I'm going to have a three-point sermon, but the third point is going to be a bit of a longer point. It was a sign of what he did. So Abram, his name was changed to Abraham, and I think Abraham means father of a multitude, because it was all related to the blessing of what God was doing in his life, and same with Sarah. And also, the word the letter H added in is part of God's name, Yahweh. There's some thought that there's an ownership, if you like, a relationship that happens there between Yahweh, Abraham's or Abraham's God, and him, and that affects the name as well. So a few different things, but it's a wonderful thing that happens here. This relationship that Abraham has with God, it's a real intimate relationship, and God blesses him with many blessings. But there's a condition to that. And the conditions are two things. First of all, get out from where you are. And the second condition was go to the place that I'm going to show you. And then we have the blessings. So I'm going to cover, first of all this morning, the get out. And then I'm going to cover the go. And then I'm going to look at the blessings. And I'm going to see how all of this applies to each one of us here this morning. First of all, get out. He had to get out and make a clean break and leave Ur of the Chaldeans. That means Babylonia. There's another word for the Babylonian area. And he had to travel 600 miles. Well, there's 600 miles from Ur to Haran, first of all. So I don't know if you've seen a map of the Fertile Crescent. You've got the Persian Gulf here, and you've got two rivers coming out. The top one is the Tigris, Tifatop Tigris. The one underneath, is the Euphrates. So you've got the Tigris, the Euphrates, and in the middle there, between the two rivers, is the area of Mesopotamia. It means between the rivers. That's what the word Mesopotamia means. So that whole region, it was a very fertile area, part of the Fertile Crescent. The Fertile Crescent goes all the way from that area of Iraq all the way around to Israel. And then you've got the desert underneath where nothing can grow. So it's really following where the seas are and where the rivers are. That's called the Fertile Crescent. And God was basically saying, leave this place, Ur. Ur was a massive population. It was a huge city. When we read about it now, we just imagine this small place, leave Ur. But really, this was the first vast empire, the first city centers, and it was a metropolitan area with a great big tower. They had one of these ziggurats in the center of Ur. In fact, you can go and visit the city of Ur even today. It's been excavated by Sir Leonard Woolley. Interesting name, Sir Leonard Woolley. He basically excavated it and found lots of houses and stuff, found a death pit where one of the kings, I think it was one of the kings of Ur, died and had loads of servants and decided, well, the tradition was when the king died, all the servants would commit suicide and be buried with him. So they found this death pit with all these people who had taken poison, and they found a lyre in there, a beautiful harp. You can go to the British Museum today and see this, a golden harp. And they found a headgear. I think it might have been the princess who died. I'm not sure if it was the king or the princess, but it was someone high up. And they found this lovely golden headpiece as well. So an amazing place, and a real city centre. And God says, right, I want you to leave this city centre and go to the place that I'm going to show you. So God doesn't even reveal where he's going to. It just says, get out of this place. The fact was, in this city of Ur, the moon god was worshipped. And obviously that's not good, because it wasn't the true god. It was an idol. And this idol was big time worshipped in Ur. And also, interestingly enough, in Haran. That was the center of the moon god worship as well. And it basically says that Terah had left beforehand and was on his way to Canaan. And that's where God had said for Abraham to go to Canaan. But Terah stopped short and settled in Haran. But God kept calling Abraham to leave Terah and to move on. I just want to share about a little bit about Terah. In Joshua 24, verse 2, it says this. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt the other side of the river, that's the Euphrates, in old times, and they served other gods. So Terah was an idol worshipper, Abraham's dad. He worshipped this moon god, probably, that was had a great big temple in Ur. So, first of all, God says, get out from that. Get out from that influence. I'm going to do something in your life which is fresh. I'm going to have a relationship with you. I want you to stop worshiping idols, basically. I want you to get out from that. I want to subtract something from your life. And I think this has relevance to us today. If we really want to see the blessings of God, some of these blessings that we see here, promised to Abraham, then we need to get out from something. And it's going to be different for each one of us. There's going to be things that we need to escape from, things that we need to give up, sacrifices we all need to make in order to see God's kingdom coming in power. What is it that you need to give up? What is it that God is saying to you, pinpointing in your life, get out from that, stop doing that, make a clean break, and start to follow the things that I've got for you. It might be habits. It might be hanging around with certain people who are not good for you. It might be subtracting something like apathy from your life or from my life. Pride, perhaps. Comfort is a big one. We all like to get comfortable, don't we, and have our security. And that can stop us really seeing the blessing of God. It's great to have that comfort, isn't it? But God's got so much more blessings for us if we're willing to come out of that comfortable place and actually trust him and go into the things that he's calling us to. Coming out from our security, coming out from our sin to the things that God has for us. When I first became a Christian, I used to listen to some pretty demonic music. And I thought, oh, this is fine. And I tried to get quite a few other Christians involved in this demonic music because I lacked a bit of discernment. But then God just revealed it to me that what I was listening to was actually affecting me in a negative way. It was not a good influence on my life. And I really liked that music at the time, but I just felt God was saying, you need to give this up. Whenever I used to draw things, I used to draw demonic stuff all the time because I was into occult things. And so I gave up any artistic stuff for a while just to get it out of my system, really. And we all know what we like, and we know the things that God is pinpointing. If we're willing to give those things up, just as Abraham came out of Ur and made a clean break, God is going to bless us for it. Now, I'd like you to, on your piece of paper, your new piece of paper, so you should have passed your piece of paper to the person on your right before. On your new piece of paper, write down the name of a place, followed by the words, and went to. So write down the name of a place, any place. It could be anywhere. It could be a country. It could be a shop. It could be a fairy tale land. Yeah, so write down the name of a place and then the words, and went to. The name of any place, long or short, is up to you. And went to. It all makes sense. Once you've done that, pass it to the person on your right. I'll fold it over first, though. Don't let them see it. Mary, do you want a hand? Brilliant. That went left. Are you going left here? Okay. I'll leave it up to you. Right, so Abraham had to get out from where he was, and he had to go somewhere. So that's the next point I'm looking at. Go to the land that I will show you. Well, we know that God revealed it was going to be Canaan. At that time, there was idolatry going on, but God was going to do something amazing in the land of Canaan, and he was going to have it as his own land, and he was going to give it to Abraham and his children. I find it so sad that we read here in Scripture that Terah, Abraham's dad, was in fact on his way to Canaan and didn't reach there, and he died short of the land that he could have been involved with, that God could have given him as well, if he'd been willing to make that sacrifice that his son had made. It's just so sad. He stopped in Haran, and that's above Canaan, and he died there. And that's why I said, can we go? Ah, please. He missed the purposes of God. It skipped one generation and went to the next generation. And I think we've got a window of opportunity in our lifetime with the promises of God to really grapple with God and really enter into the things that his kingdom has got for us and for this nation. And we can really enter into that. Or if we're apathetic, we can fall short, or we can settle for second best. When the children of Israel came into the promised land of Israel, Canaan, there was a tribe which didn't want to cross over. I think it was the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they wanted to settle the other side of the Jordan. Oh, we like it here. It's good enough here. And Joshua said, well, you've got to join with your brothers and fight over the other side, but if you want to settle here, you can. I just find that there's something sad about that settling before you've inherited what God's got for you. And I wonder, as Christians, how many times we settle for second best rather than what God's got. If we're going to go with what God's got, it's going to take perseverance, it's going to take faith over a prolonged period of time. But how many churches have been planted and failed because the people initially had a great, oh yeah, God's saying this, and then they run out of steam, and they compromise, and they think, oh, well, maybe it wasn't God, maybe I didn't hear right, and And yet if they'd have just persevered through the tough times, they would have broken through to see the blessing of God. And I think it's the same for us. We need to pioneer on through. When times are tough, we just hold on to what God has said. There may be nothing else going for us apart from a promise. And it was the same for Abraham. He didn't even know where he was going to. God hadn't revealed it to him. And as he came to Canaan, God obviously said, well, this is the place. And he was just camping. He'd gone from the luxury of city life to living in a tent. And it doesn't seem very promising at the time. And sometimes that's all we've got to hold on to is the promise of God. God has said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm going to go on in and take possession of the promises that God has given to me. So I wonder what promises God has given to you in your life. What things are you waiting for God to do? What is your real heart's desire that God would do? Don't ever give up on that. Never give up on a good thing, the thing that makes you happy. And the thing that makes us happy is doing God's will. He's got great things in store for us. Let's persevere. Let's press on through. Let's be a pioneering people. I think that Abraham was apostolic. He had a pioneering spirit. He was the first apostle, if you like, someone that was willing to get up from where he was to go to somewhere new. That doesn't mean that we'll necessarily go to a new place, but what it does mean is that we're always pioneering for that which God is saying, that we're never settling. We're actually thinking, no, I'm going to keep following God and go wherever the cloud leads me, wherever his glory cloud leads me. I'm going to move, not necessarily physically, but certainly spiritually. But sometimes it might even mean moving physically. Certainly it did for me when I came to Wales. It was a big thing to come to Wales because I didn't know anything about Wales. It was leaving the security of my friends, everything that I knew, and just trusting God with something completely brand new. Lord, my life's in your hands. A bit like when you go in for an operation, your life is in their hands. Okay, yeah. Let's hope your hand isn't shaky on the day, sort of thing. Your life is literally in the surgeon's hands. Let's put our lives in God's hands and say, well, God, I'm going to trust you with the promises that you've given to me, and I'm not going to divert. I'm going to keep on pressing through and pioneering until I see your kingdom coming in power. Right, on your new bit of paper now, this is your second bit of paper. You've all passed them on, haven't you, the last one? I want you to write down the name of another place, followed by the words, the result of this was... The name of another place, any old place. Could be an intergalactic place, could be the moon. The result of this was... So be creative. Could be a building, it could be a country, could be anything. The name of a place, the result of this was. And then fold it down and hand it to the person on your right. So Abraham was called to leave something. He got two pens. Pastor Ducci on the left hand, no, on the right hand side. Yeah, well done. Ducci means teapot. They had to change the lyrics because originally it was, I think, to do with drugs. That's musical youth from the 80s. Pastor Ducci on the left-hand side, that was. So pass your folded piece of paper on the right-hand side. And let's recap. Abraham was called by God to leave something. He was called by God to persevere and to go into something. And if he was willing to do those two things, there would be great blessing. And I want to suggest if we're willing to leave sin, leave apathy, leave security, and be courageous, trust God, and go into the things that he's challenging us to do, We're going to see some great blessings. You're going to see some amazing stuff happening. Let's have a look at the blessings that God promised Abraham. The fact is, it's a sevenfold blessing. If you read this in Hebrew, there's actually seven parts to it, and each part starts with an and. Often things start with an and in Hebrew. But because of our English translations, if you keep having the word and, it gets a bit boring. And this, and that. And it doesn't read very well in English. So in our translations, some of the ands are taken out. But there's seven parts to this blessing. Amazing, really, when you think about it. There's 7 days of creation. Many sevens in Scripture. In the book of Revelation, lots of sevens there. It's like a perfect number, if you like. It's a complete number. And it's God's way of saying, yes, this is great. This is going to be great. It's going to be complete. And I think these blessings, they're meant for Abraham, but I think we can take some blessings out of it too. The reason why I believe this is because in the New Testament, it says that we are sons of Abraham by faith. Because Abraham was the first person, really, to really trust God with God's promises. He even trusted that God could even raise the dead. That was faith. And because he trusted God, it says in the Bible that God gave him a free gift of righteousness. It was credited to Abraham as righteousness. God considered him a righteous person simply because he had trust in Jesus, or had trust in God at the time. In the same way, the New Testament says those who place their trust in God, in Jesus and what he's done, we've become like Abraham. We've become sons or daughters of Abraham because we too are trusted in God. And it's credited to us as righteousness. So as we're taking communion this morning, God is looking at us as his saints, his righteous ones, simply because we're trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross. So we inherit these promises that were given to Abraham because the promises were given to Abraham about his seed. And ultimately his seed, his descendant, singular, is Christ. Abraham was literally the father many generations before of Jesus. Jesus is literally a physical descendant of Abraham. The Jews today are all descendants of Abraham. And the ultimate promise that all of this was given for was fulfilled completely in Christ. He's the one that really fulfilled it. He's the one who made Abraham a blessing to all nations, because it's through the gospel, through the good news of Jesus, that we can be saved, and anyone from any nation can be saved. So these promises we inherit in some remarkable way because we are in Christ. So let's look at some of these promises. First one is, I will make you a great nation. That's the promise of fruitfulness. Abraham couldn't have kids. Abraham and Sarah, or Sarai. They were trying to have children for many, many years. They couldn't. There was a barrenness there. The opposite of fruitfulness in their lives. And God said, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to enable you to have children. In fact, you're not just going to have one child. You're going to have a child who's going to become a great nation. So this is a promise of fruitfulness to him. And we can actually say to God, well, Lord, you've promised fruitfulness to Abraham. I'm a son of Abraham. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus himself promises fruitfulness to his children. He says, he who's abiding in me will bear much fruit, showing himself or herself to be my disciples. So we can actually have this as a promise of God, fruitfulness over our lives. And there could be many different areas where we're seeing barrenness in our lives. And I think it's good to come to God in prayer and in faith and say, Lord, this is an area of barrenness. I'm not bearing fruit in this area. And I believe that you want me to. Please, would you do something, do a miracle, do something amazing. I'm going to believe for a bit more here in this situation. I'm going to believe for some breakthroughs here in this situation. And we can see some great blessing happening. The second promise was this. I will bless you. Do you feel blessed this morning? You might not feel it, or you might feel it. But whether we feel it or not, the fact is, we are so blessed this morning. Jacob, one of the descendants of Abraham, he said, I won't let go of you, God, until you bless me. This blessing didn't just stay with Abraham, it went through the generational lines. But ultimately, it's through Christ that we're blessed. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You are blessed this morning. Paul wrote this letter so that the new Christians could see, man, you are so blessed. You just don't realize how blessed you are at the minute. It's far better than winning the lottery or anything that the earth can give us. These are spiritual blessings. They're not going to perish. We are so blessed in Christ. I wonder what areas of your life need to see the blessing of God. Why not let's bring them before the Lord? Maybe it's finance. Lord, I need some money. I'm going short every month. I need to see your hand touching this area of my life. I'm not preaching a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel here, but I am saying the Lord provides, and he loves to bless us and make us happy as well. It's not always about our happiness, but certainly when we see the blessing of God, there is a happiness that comes, isn't there, when we see the answers to prayer and see the blessing of God. Sometimes it's the provision of grace in times of suffering. Sometimes we need to go through that suffering, but what we actually need is that provision of grace. Remember when Paul said, "Lord, take this away from me," and the Lord said, "No, in this situation, you're going to walk through it, but my grace is sufficient for you." In other words, God was providing an answer to prayer in the form of grace. And maybe we need grace for a situation we're going through that we're struggling with, and we just need that grace of God. Or maybe the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We're worried about something. Lord, I'm waking up in the middle of the night. I'm worrying about this situation. Lord, would you provide your blessing of peace? The third thing, "I will make your name great." Isn't that amazing that Abraham, his name became great? I saw on the news this morning before I came out, we just saw a little bit of news, and it's in a lot of the papers, anti-Semitism. Have you heard of it? With the Labour Party, there's been a great big argument going on about some anti-Semitism, and they're saying, no, we're not anti-Semitic, so they're refuting that. But the fact is, that word, anti-Semitic, the word Semitic comes from the word Shem. Shem was one of the people who Abraham was descended from. So you had three sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, he's the one who all the Jews come through. So Shem, his family line leads to Abraham, and so anyone that's Jewish today, physically Jewish, they descend from Abraham. But Abraham descends from Shem. And Shem, his name becomes Sem. Shem or Sem. So when you're being anti-Semitic, you're being anti-Shemitic. That name, Shem, is or Semitic, is really the word Shemitic. So it's amazing, isn't it? God literally fulfilled this promise. He's made the name of Abraham famous. Because we've all heard of the word anti-Semitic. All of us have heard of that. You know, the world's heard of it. It's in the papers even today. That's how famous Abraham has become. And when God promises here in the Hebrew, "I will make your name famous," the word in Hebrew for name is the word Shem. Isn't that amazing? So literally it says, "I'll make your Shem famous." Anti-Semitic. We've all heard of it. So God literally fulfilled that. In the Tower of Babel, when they were building that great city and they were trying to make a name for themselves, the Hebrew is they were trying to make a Shem for themselves. They were trying to make themselves famous. But God came and said, "Okay, you've done enough. For your own good, I'm going to scatter you, because if you've done this much all working together with one language, you're going to destroy yourselves probably in a very short period of time. I'm gonna get you to filling the earth rather than staying in one place." So amazingly, this guy, Abraham, became famous because of God. But you see, just as these guys were trying to build a name for themselves, Abraham was different. He was trying to build a name for God. He wanted God to be famous. That was his heart's desire. And as we do the same, if we really want to see God being famous, rather than us being famous, many people want to be famous themselves, don't they? They think, oh, that would be the ultimate, is to be famous, to be top of the pops, literally. And when they get there, they just realize it's empty. But as Christians, let's make it our goal to be humble, just as Abraham was humble, and that God would be glorified. How much more could God trust us with if he could trust us not to take the glory to ourselves? I think we're going to see some amazing miracles. And we're going to be tested when we're seeing those miracles, tested by Satan to think, oh, we're something. Oh, look, I proved that person got healed. Look, aren't I good, sort of thing. Let's always remember in those situations to give the glory back to God. And if we do that, he's going to give us more. We do become famous because we'll become well known. Oh, look, that's the person, that's the man of God, that's the woman of God. Oh, they pray for people, they get healed. Peter's shadow, oh, people have been healed through him. Even just his shadow, let's lay the sick down. It's Peter. You know, people are like that. But the fact is, Peter was nothing. He said, I'm just a person. Paul said that. You know, they tried to worship him as a god. Oh, you are the great God. No, I'm just a man like you. It's God who's done this healing. So let's give the glory to God, and we're going to see some amazing stuff. And God's name will be glorified through us. Promise 4 and promise 7. You'll be a blessing, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed by you. Promise 4 and promise 7. Wouldn't it be great to be a blessing? That's what God has called us to as Christians. In a dark world where there's very little hope going on, we're those who bring hope. Whatever people are going through, we've got a message of encouragement, a message of hope. I wonder this week who you can bring encouragement to, who I can bring encouragement to, what we can do to bring a little bit of hope into someone's life, to share our story of how we became a Christian, to share something of what we know is true, of God's love. We've heard all about God's love this morning. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's share it. Let's see that love lavished on us being lavished on others as well. It's why we've been put here. And that promise, all peoples on earth will be blessed by you or through you. Because of Jesus, we have been blessed. So in a sense, we can say thank you to Abraham for leaving Ur. If he hadn't left Ur, we wouldn't be blessed. We wouldn't be here this morning having communion. If he hadn't gone for the promises of God, we have been blessed so much because of his obedience. I wonder how many nations we can bless through us, every person here. 12 disciples or 12 apostles, they went out and the whole world was set upside down. What can we do through us? We're already blessing Jane in Kenya. She's getting blessed by being supported physically with money that we're sending over, we're writing over and encouraging her. I had a lovely photograph back. We sponsored a child, Juan Fidel, in Bolivia. And for their birthday, you can send over a little card and a little gift. And I thought, well, this year I'm gonna put some little treats in and stuff. So I went to Asda and just got, you can't put a lot in there. It's got to be quite flat and easy to pack and lightweight. So I got a load of football cards, all-star cards, and they were golden sort of, they looked really flashy. They looked great. Like, oh, fantastic. So I put them in the card. And I also got some balloons, put them in. And I got about 4 whoopee cushions, little whoopee cushion things, and I put them in as well. And recently, we've just had a photograph back. He's looking a bit miserable. He's looking like he's, you know, like this. But maybe it's because he didn't want to have his photograph taken. But he's holding up the things that we sent, and he's holding up the whoopee cushions. And if he can work out how to use them, I know he's going to have great fun with those whoopee cushions. And we had a letter back from his dad thanking us. And it's just great to know that it actually got all the way there, the other side of the world. and it's blessing someone. You can be a blessing to someone in another country through sponsoring a child or through writing to someone. You could be a blessing to someone in prison, writing to them, visiting someone in prison. You could be a blessing in many, many ways. Even going on holiday, sharing the gospel when you're in a different country or supporting a missionary in another country. We can affect the nations, and it's part of what we're called to, that we've been sent to all nations, not only to this nation. Christians are to infiltrate the whole world with the good news of Christ. We're to be nation changers, and that's the call that was on Abraham's life. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We can be a blessing equally to all peoples on earth because of the gospel. Let's also be a blessing where God's put us here. Let's be good news to this community, but let's not limit it to just the place where God's put us. And then the last thing, the blessing 5 and blessing 6. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. It says in Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. I don't know if you've ever felt condemned by somebody or judged by somebody, or maybe condemned by Satan, or Satan whispers in your ear, oh, look at you, I've done it again, yeah, look at you. The good news is this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever we've done, we can bring to the cross, we can get forgiveness and be regarded as saints. God doesn't want us to do bad stuff, but even if we mess up, there's forgiveness if we're willing to come back and bring it under the blood and repent. And we can know what it is to be free from accusation, free from every accusing tongue because of what Christ has done for each one of us. That's a wonderful feeling, to have a weight lifted from us, to not have that guilt, that condemnation pressing against us. It's a horrible load to carry around with you, isn't it? Think, oh, I did that. You know, sometimes when we've done something to somebody else, upset them, said something we shouldn't have done, it's not until we actually physically say sorry, just as we've said physically sorry to God when we've sinned, that weight gets lifted. I wonder what burdens we're carrying around today that we just need to get sorted. Maybe just to write a letter to someone, or maybe someone's died and we've upset them and we should have said, oh, there's so much I should have said or should have done. And we might think, oh, it's too late to do that. In a sense, it's not too late, because whatever we've done, we can bring to God and say, Lord, I know I should have done this. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me for this and lift that weight from me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What are you feeling guilty about this morning? Bring it to God. Get forgiven. Get his forgiveness and get any burdens lifted this morning. Many people have tried to wipe Israel, the descendants of Abraham, off the face of this earth. Many people have tried that. Hitler tried to do it, and yet they're still here. Hallelujah. Well, we know that the Antichrist is coming at some point, and he's not going to be very happy about Jews or Christians. and some, you know, some tough things in Scripture. And it may well be that looks like the Jews and Christians have been defeated when there's difficult times. But God is promising he's going to step in and save. And whatever the church and the Jewish nation needs to go through in the future, God is going to be there with them, and he's going to rescue them from it. And that's going to be amazing. These promises are great promises for us to hold on to in our lives, that just as he's protected the Jewish people, the sons of Abraham, he's going to be protecting us. We may lose our lives, but we won't lose our souls. That's what Jesus said. Don't fear those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. He's to be our first fear. He's to be the one that we trust in. So whatever you're going through in life, put your trust in the one who is all-powerful and can rescue you from every evil attempt to destroy you. He's our great God. Right, I'd like you to write on your new bit of paper a consequence. A consequence of any action. So a consequence is something that, I want you to write the words, in fact, we wrote the on the last bit, didn't we? The consequence of this was. Did we write that last time? As a result of this. So write anything that could be a result of something happening. Write anything. Anything that could be a result of something happening. So the Pope, something happened to the Pope, all of mankind was saved, or the whole planet exploded, everyone went on strike, or anything, any result of an action that you can think of. And then just stop. Just write the consequence, or any result of an action. Make something funny up if you can. And then hand it to the person on your right. And then we're going to read some of them out and just see what we've got. See if we've got some interesting ones. Who wants to be my person with the microphone? Would you be my person with the microphone? Oh, yeah, there we are. Jane's going to do it. Thanks, Jane. Okay, hand it to the person on the right. Let's see if we've got some good ones here. Let's see what we got. That's it. Just write anything. Something that happened. No, after the just write the consequence. Just write the result. Just write something that happened. Don't write the words "the consequence." Don't write that. Just write something. Something that's happened. Does everyone understand? Okay, Fraser's got one. Let's have a listen to his.
Peter Pan left Brittany, France, and went to Ireland. The result of this was that they learned to juggle and ran away with the circus.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Who's got one? Nara's got one. They've all gone that way. Okay. Follow where the people are waving. Nara's got an interesting one. What's Nara got?
Right. The Queen left Neath and went to London. The result of this was the universe imploding.
I like it.
Martin Luther King, Memphis, went to blank. Oh, the beach in Spain. The result of this was they found a spouse.
Was the result of this was what?
They found a spouse.
I like it.
Dave Tucker left Disneyland and went to Narnia. Result of this, my nan lost his recipe book. Dave Tucker left Disneyland and went to Narnia. Result of this was my nan lost her recipe book.
The result of this was who lost? Who did? The result of this was my nan lost her recipe book. The result of it was my nan lost her recipe book. My nan lost her recipe book.
I like it. I don't know which way I'm going to read this, really. DM went to Bristol. And as a result of this, John Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, dear. I like it. Oh, dear. We got any others?
Why?
Come on, let's hear it. Come on, it's funny.
I don't even know where that is.
Okay, what we got?
Moses left Sean.
So who?
Moses.
Moses left
Sharnbrook. And went to Lausanne.
Went to Lausanne.
The result of this was they got hurt.
They got hurt. Nice. You got another one there? Any others?
I got stuff mixed up.
Superman left Asia and went to New York. The result of this was the They got beheaded by the Queen of Hearts.
Oh, I like it. Brilliant. Oh, well done, guys. So we've had a bit of a fun game there. If we're willing to leave something behind and go to what we know is not good for us, that it's not God's will, and if we're willing to go to something that is God's will, there's going to be great consequences. There's going to be a great result. Let's put this into practice and let's do what Abraham did. I think we're just going to finish with a song. Water, you've turned into wine. Let's just declare our God is greater, our God is stronger.